We've been talking about what is love. That's right. Keith's been gone, so it's still novel. Still very novel. Like, what is love? I'll do it for you, though. It's pretty great. And part of the deal with what is love is for all of us to kind of reorient ourselves to how we look at the world. And so the idea for me has been, how do I receive this idea to love God and to love my neighbor? How does that work out in our lives? And then I'm also looking at, do I have kids who are growing up, you know? And I want them, if there's one thing I want them to know, you know, we've all moved beyond just having our kids pray a prayer and say, okay, you're saved, and now try to be good. We want our kids to know the story, like, to know who they actually are, and to know the motivation, and to know where to go in times of trouble and tribulation, and to have hope. Like, I want to put this story on them. And I want to put it on you, and I want you to put it on me so that we remember. And so the idea of relationships is that all relationships work with love. Right? So, like, any relationship needs love. God is love. And so, therefore, for any relationship to make sense, and to be fully what you want from it, fully what your heart desires from it, what you deserve from it, it has to have God in it. I'm just saying. No offense. But on your own, any relationship with God starts from God. It's trickle down. But then relationship with spouse, you know, relationship with family, relationship with friends and with neighbors. And that's what we've been talking about. So good. It's been helpful for me. I hope it's been helpful for you. Today is probably the hardest. Today is your relationship with enemies. And when I say enemies, it's very easy first to just kind of go, oh, I don't really have any enemies. But you do. Trust me. I've heard them talk about it. Yeah? We have enemies. And so we're going to look at the relationship of what is love as it relates to our enemies. Now, my first enemy, the one first one I can remember, you know, besides, like, the bathroom, things like that. That was a joke. I didn't want to use the bathroom. Just pee outside. Thanks, Nate. Is that sincere? The first enemy I had was in first day of kindergarten. I went to school, and there was another boy on the playground, and you're meeting everybody kind of new. I had one or two friends, like I knew Reed, who I grew kind of in my neighborhood, but then there's these other new people, and there was a boy who seems kind of like a charismatic boy that everybody was kind of hanging around, and I heard his name was Grunt. And I called him Grunt all day. I went home, I said, oh, this is a cool kid named Grunt. Funny name, I know, but he seems all right. And I called him Grunt the second day. And then by the third day, Grunt was really mean to me. And I was like, why are you being mean to me, Grunt? And it's because my name is Grant. Stop calling me Grunt. Okay? Oh, sorry. Not a big deal, Grunt. Grant. Except that it started this trajectory. Grunt, Grant, but still, he was mean to me. And so then I went home, I talked about Grant being mean to me, and I'm telling you, like, through kindergarten, there developed this little rivalry, and at home, my mom would talk about Grant, and what a jerk he is, and his family's a jerk, and so we built up this, like, little folklore all the way through high school. I never liked Grant. Grant never liked me. We just didn't like each other, and that's how it was, and Grant's a jerk, and even though Grant's brother was on the world champion Little League team, that used to be on the front of Wide World of Sports. The guys in the yellow, that was my, like, little towns. The agony of defeat and the thrill of victory showed Grant's brother, like, on the pictures now. And I'm like, man, I wish I could like Grant. He's my enemy. And it's part of our culture in my house. And so as we talk about enemies, I want you to know there's an enemy. Little Grant, Grunt. But it got kind of fed and nourished in my home. All the way through. And what finally happened was, we realized one day, I didn't even realize I called him Grunt until he told me, like, at graduation, yeah, I never liked you because you called me Grunt. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to. I was sincere. I thought it was Grunt. Oh, high five. Wasted a lot of time. we're upset with each other. So today, I want you to focus, though, on, we're talking about enemies. Focus on personal. We don't need to focus on governments and other, you know what I mean? Like, we're not talking about the structures out there. God has set up, we'll talk about the relationship with governments. God set up places for justice and for all that. We're talking about it in your little sphere and what's happening. Because God wants us to be free. And this is one of those areas that we don't look at, but I'm telling you, it's one of the things that is tearing you up. And it's arresting your development. And you don't even know it. And the reason you don't know it is because we live in a culture, and we live in a world, not just a culture, we live in a world where if someone wrongs you, you wrong them back. You defend yourself. If someone cuts you off, you need to make sure and let them know they're horrible drivers. Until you realize it's a 16-year-old girl, and you're like, whoa, sorry. Or someone who's much bigger than you and looks more intimidating. Whoa, sorry, I thought you were a 16-year-old girl. Right? So, here's what Jesus says about it. Jesus addresses people who are standing, Jews, who are standing in the shadow of Roman soldiers who have occupied their land. Right? They're not nice to Jews. They're like, at any time we can exterminate you, we can do whatever we want, we just want you to always know that we're in charge now of your land. So Jesus is talking to people who understand, like, we have enemies, real enemies, and if we can get them, let's get them. And so Jesus says, you heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say something different. I say turn the cheek. Turn the other cheek. They hit you here, and when they say hit, it's insult. And let me just disclaimer at the beginning, before we're going to get into it, but I know some of you are sensitive souls. Some of you are really hardened souls, but a lot of you are sensitive. I'm not saying it's okay. You don't stay in the abuse. You don't let an enemy continue to destroy you. You move away. You get out, okay? So this is not saying let's be abused. Something different. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. So don't think, if you're in a situation now that is threatening to you, it's hurtful to you, do not hear the preaching of the gospel say, stay in that horrible situation and be abused. It's not that. God is moving us towards life and towards freedom. So let me get that out of the way. Now, let me read you the words of Jesus, because they're kind of shocking. Matthew 5. It's the Beatitudes. It's like a big sermon. Do any of you have, can you think of an enemy's name right up front here? Just give me a, you know, most churches are like, if you've received Jesus, give me a nod or raise your hand. I'm like, let me see. How many of you have an enemy right now you can think of? Raise your hand so we all see. Yes. Good. And before I even say anything else, I do want to remind you, in the very beginning of the Bible, God's saying blessings and curses. So Satan has deceived Eve and Adam. And he says that the seed, the serpent, will have enmity against the seed of the woman. So against humanity. Enmity, which is enemy, and in the Hebrew it means murderous intent. A murderous intent. Your enemy, and here's how you have to think personally. They may not want to kill you physically because they'll get in trouble. But they want to kill a part of you. They want to kill your joy. I want a relationship like you and Don, but I can't have one. So I want to kill your joy. I'm scared that you're better than me in a job. I'm going to kill your success. You know what I mean? Like, there's murderous intent. You're not rooting for it. These are your enemies. Jesus says, chapter 5, verse 43, back here. Give me a second to get there as I get there. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's just common sense. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So that's no big deal, right? So if you look at this again, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Son of God, speaking words of God, says, bless your enemies, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Is any of that natural? You just think to do that? I don't. But I like verse 45. I want you to relook at verse 45. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. This is important. Jesus is not talking about how you get saved. He's talking about what it looks like. You're saved by the work of Jesus. But now that you're saved and brought into the family of God, you're becoming like your Father. You're out of this cycle of death and violence. So in our homes, where we have a common enemy and we talk around the dinner table how much we hate Rome, or how much we hate Grunt, or how much we hate the school, or the government, or our neighbors, and we talk, and we just fuel all this revenge, and that happens in our homes, Jesus interrupts that and says, you have a new home now. And this is about you becoming like your Father. Be perfect as your Father. We hear it as, I'm never good enough. Jesus is not saying, on your own effort, be perfect. He's saying, you're becoming like your Father. Imitate your Father in heaven. He's perfect. Imitate it. What does he do? He blesses those who curse him. He prays for his enemy. He helps out his enemies. That's what he does. So now, we have to break all this old cycle of revenge and vengeance and Count of Monte Cristo stuff, which I love that book because who doesn't love a good revenge story? But break that. You are in a new household now where we send rain on the just and the unjust. People who are awful, they get rain on their crops. They get food. Why, God? And it's good that God is like this because he's merciful. He's gracious. So this is what he's saying. You're going to now be like this because I'm like this. Now, if you're like me, I'm going, cool. I'm like, that's very cool. I want to be loving my enemy, but I'm not. I harbor a lot of bitterness, and I would love to see my enemies get what they deserve. I mean, honestly. So how is this going to work? I'm concerned for myself, which is always what Jesus puts you in a position where, if you're really listening, you'll be concerned. So that's good. Like, uh-oh. And he'll always comfort you, first and foremost. We get comfort, he gets glory. So he's going to comfort us with the gospel, the good news, which is Christ saved you. You were once enemies to God. The fact that he loves enemies is good because we were once enemies. We weren't for him. We didn't want God telling us what to do. We didn't really believe him. It'd be better if he's just out of our lives so we could just do our own thing. But in his grace, he has saved you. You were once dead, now you're alive. So as we transition into how we ought to live, we have to remember, oh, God was really nice to us when we were enemies. So no wonder he's like, look, it's like kids in the backseat of the car. Like, don't worry about the other kid. I'll be the judge. How about you just love your brother or sister? But how do we do that? How do we fund this? That's what I want to look at in Romans. In Romans chapter 12. This is where Paul starts to break it down. See, Jesus is going to flip it for us. He flips it and he says, you're not just going to defend yourselves anymore. Jesus could have defended himself. He had enemies. But what does Jesus say on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. And then Paul, he kind of breaks it down in Romans on how we relate to enemies now. And this is kind of a big deal when you realize who our Father in heaven is and God's purpose with enemies. So when God thinks of enemies, his whole goal is to win their hearts. It's not to shut them up. It's not to kill them. Like, God's purpose with enemies is to win their hearts. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I've never thought about it that way. It's a big deal because this is where we start to realize our power in overcoming evil and overcoming our enemies with good. So we start to align with God's heart, which is you overcome evil by pursuing the heart of your enemy. All right. I just want to mention this chapter 2. It says, this is the passage where Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." So this is part of what we're about to talk about now, is the transformation of your mind. We don't think about enemies as people. We need to just hope they lose their job and hope they shut up and other people realize what hypocrites they are and how dumb they are. We're moving out of that. And we're moving into people who bless. But first, God will conform our minds to what is perfect, who Daddy is. And as he goes through, we'll start on a verse, it's really a great chapter, but verse 14, Paul is saying, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Heaping burning coals on someone's head is a term from the Proverbs and Psalms about God's judgment. And so it's about, by serving your enemies, you give them an opportunity to repent and respond to God before his judgment. But here, okay, so I've given you all the, this is what the Bible says, right? Okay, now let's break it down. I think we can all relate to Grace, my daughter. She's 12 years old. And essentially, you all stopped developing at about age 12, emotionally. Because you'll relate to this. Grace goes to school. She has some friends. There's one friend within the circle who just decides she doesn't like Grace. Grace draws, this girl draws better. Grace sings, this girl sings so much better. Grace is a good student. But this girl is actually a genius. What was her IQ? You won't say her name.
She said her IQ was 135.
All right, all right, stop. See, this is a good example. Grace is still wrong. The girl said her IQ was 145, but she wasn't even at the honors award ceremony on Thursday night. So, I mean, that's what Grace is saying. The girl challenges Grace. Oh, and the girl is not just an atheist, but constantly goes on to Grace about how dumb God is. Right? That's happening in sixth grade. It's also happening in your life, right? So we can relate. But the girl then works against Grace to Grace's real friends. And Grace can't understand why her friends even like this girl. This is an enemy. She's working against Grace. She wants Grace to fail so she can succeed. She doesn't know what she's doing. It doesn't matter. So what do we tell Grace as Christians? Do we just say, "You are honored, you are outstanding social studies student of the month. That girl's dumb. You're an awesome artist, you won an award. She didn't. Dumb. That girl's parents aren't even giving her the story of Christianity. Super dumb. Eternal damnation. Dumb." Like, these, you can see how this is a downhill. This is easy. I can keep going, because that's easy, right? And it's all true. And she's great, and your daughter's dumb, and I don't really want to meet this other girl's parents, because who knows? And these are enemies. But But this is real, and that's easy. And we have to fight. Like, what do we do? Do we give her that story, and then she just has to deal with how dumb this girl is? Or is there another story? And that's what today's about, loving your enemies. And here's, I don't know everything. I'm on a journey, but I'm figuring it out. I want to give her a better story. I want to have a better story, because if we have enemies, you know, the enemies rob you of so much. I have one enemy, and instead of thinking about my family and thinking about the people I love, I can only focus on this one person who's ruining my life. When I'm missing out on thinking about these people, I can't sleep, because one person seals off power. And then years go by, and it's like, I missed opportunities, or I was insecure, I was so mad, because so-and-so, that guy ruined my opportunity. I didn't become famous because of that. And no one cares. You've been trapped by your own enemies and in your own cycle of hate. And so how do we move out of that? And here's the beautiful thing, that Christ, first of all, says, I see and I hear all the injustice that happens to you. See, as Christians, we don't have to prove that we've been, or prove that people have been mean to us. God says to his people, I've heard your cries, and I'm doing something about it. I see that he's everywhere, and that he's loving. He's not going to leave us. So when we've been attacked, and we've had people who spread lies about us and try to hurt us, we get to anchor in the fact that God knows. God knows the truth. He was there. He saw it. And he's loving. And so what we do then with that is, because he knows, let's go to him and acknowledge the hurt. I think as Christians, we want to act like, I'm okay. Someone hurts your feelings. And we confuse this idea of love your enemies. We confuse that with, don't feel anything. Don't be really human. Just be a doormat and go, okay. No, no, no. We are people who carry the blessing. We're the people who have all the power. We have all the freedom. Doesn't mean like let them, but no, we can do something and we say, that hurts, man. That hurts, girl. That's wrong. And so we go to the God who sees all, who hears all, who knows your name, and you say, God, first and foremost, you acknowledge the pain. God, and with grace, I would say, we have done this. We'll do it again. By the way, this is a muscle. This is not a one and done. Do these. I'm going to give you three things to do, but it's ongoing. It's whenever your mind and your heart is roused up, your heart starts beating, and you're like, kiss the other person. You do this. And the first thing is acknowledge, what is it that's making your heart run faster? What is it that is keeping you awake? What is it? Acknowledge it and say, in this case, I'm hurt because I like to do art. And this person says, I'm bad at art. That hurt my feelings. That hurts my confidence. Say whatever it is to God, because he saw it, he heard it, and he cares. So we take these attacks from our enemies, and we say, God, my enemy has hurt me. Or my love, I mean, and it's people that we know and people that we love, they hurt us. You know, when I first left a church to start this, well-meaning people accused me of not taking care of my family. Straight up. That hurt me for a long time because I try to take care of my family. Stuff like that. So I go, God, I love my family. But I'm scared. I'm trying to take care of my family. Maybe they're right. What's the truth? You saw, you see, you hear, and I have to acknowledge that. Then, so there's acknowledgement of what the fear is, what the hurt is, what they've done. Then it gets a little bit harder. Because then you move into choosing, and this is choosing to forgive your enemy. Because God is doing everything he can to forgive us. But this is who our Father is. He's all there, but he's also all just. He's just. He has, and by just, I mean, he's going to pay, make sure everything is fair. He doesn't just let murder go free. He doesn't let people stealing go free. He doesn't let our sin just go and like, oh, he's like happy grandpa. Have a chiclet. It's my great-grandpa's seen a chiclet. It's gone. God's like, oh, whatever, you're a good kid. Here's a chiclet. He says, things must be paid for. He's a just judge. And the way he has paid them for us, my wrongdoing, is I trust Jesus. Jesus walked through the punishment. Jesus is God's work. The work of Jesus, we are forgiven. And so as we are dealing with the trespasses against us, We can't act like God's not forgiving. He forgave us. So this is where you might spend some time saying, God, I'm not ready to choose to forgive them. Help me to be ready to choose. But you got to get there. So then you choose. I choose to forgive this girl for saying I'm a bad artist. I choose to forgive these people for saying I'm not taking my family, taking care of my family. I choose to forgive them, God. And when you do that, you're letting go. You don't have to be the judge. You're not powerful enough to judge and to mete out justice. He is. And so by choosing to forgive, it's like giving that to him. Choose to forgive them. And then the third thing, which is even harder, is you pray for their blessing and their healing. Acknowledge the hurt, choose to forgive them, and then say, God, would you heal their heart? Bless them. I want them to be blessed. That's pretty hard. But again, the only way you can do this is by asking God into this process. This is how we do it. So then when you become an agent of blessing to your enemies, again, blessing, I'm not saying stay, well, I don't even want to say what I'm not saying. I just want to say what I am saying. You are the children of God. You carry blessing. God bless them. And the way we do that, in this case, we'll keep using Grace's friend. We would pray, God, whatever is in this girl's heart that is causing her to want to destroy my work, heal that. Whatever she's lacking and she's trying to take from me, would you give her that, God? Because you have it for her. I don't have what this girl needs to give her security, to give her worth. But you have it, God. This is blessing. God, I pray that you would give this girl, heal her, so that she doesn't have to be angry and she doesn't have to be spreading lies about me. But whatever's going on in her heart, bless her. Then, now God bless me. Heal these wounds. Help me. This is how, this is what we walk through. But you know why we do it? I'm telling you, if you've never gone through this process, it's healing. I'm telling you personally. I've had a lot of enemies in my life. I've made a lot of enemies because of my big mouth. A lot of times I've tried to be more funny than sensitive. You make a lot of enemies when they feel, when everyone's laughing at something I said, and they feel like it's because of them, at their expense. You make a lot of enemies. Then you receive a lot of white leg jokes. Because people aren't as funny. So they just get mean. So then you make a lot of enemies. This is the level I'm talking about. It's the people at work who say something. The people at work, or in your community, or the neighbor, I'm talking about, this is what we're living with. And what I have experienced, and I want you to experience, many of you have in areas, but to keep working this muscle, the reason that we're going to walk through, acknowledging the hurt, choosing to forgive, and then praying for their blessing is because there's freedom. The first thing that happens is, you know, there's this old phrase. I remember a pastor saying, like, when you're holding acid, acid hurts the container which it is stored more than the object on which it is poured. Okay, so the idea is when we hold on to anger and we hold on to these hurts, it's hurting us. This hurts us. And anger and these hurts and the things of your enemy, there is no expiration date. They will just hang around until you deal with them. That's why if you ever go to counseling or you ever start to deal with one thing, all of a sudden you realize there's stuff from when you were 8, 9, 10. You're like, oh. And the anger is just going to stay there. And so God knows that this process of blessing your enemies... Wake up! Yeah, one day I'm going to get rid of the phone completely. A record player is really all I need. Here's why. Good, that's a reset. Here's why you want to walk through this. First of all, God wants you to be free of the way people have clawed into you. He wants to cut. He wants you to be free. He doesn't want you to think for one second that one of your enemies has had any control over your life or directed you or limited you. He wants to cut all that and reorient you and say, no, your Heavenly Father has blessed you. He has given you like green pastures, and you can dream and you can walk into it, and don't believe that these people, don't give them any more power. Cut them free, and this forgiveness and this blessing cuts you free from any power they have. It also resets you so that you're not spending any energy, any time thinking about them, thinking about what they say. I hope they do this, and I hope that. And, you know when you're struggling because you want to talk about your enemy all the time. I know I'm struggling because I'm like, wow, did you see so-and-so? I just wonder what he would be thinking about. And I just desperately want her to go, you're the best. Everybody else is jerks. I know, right? And then even that won't feed my soul because I'm still angry at my enemy and nothing can satiate that. It's just, if you ever talk to someone who's really hurt and really angry and you even give it to them, I'll bite. You're great. They're stupid. I know. They want more. Tell me more. Tell me more. Do you know they're even more stupid than you think? And they're still on that. You know what I mean? We've all met people like that. We've never been those people. There's freedom. I've certainly been that person. And been a good Christian, and been a good, I've been all those things at once. And what I've learned is, man, God can cut us free so we can focus on the things we love, not the things we hate. Whew. And then, when you start to pray for blessing, it's like dumb. God always knows. He's not dumb. When I pray for my enemy to be blessed and to be healed, you know what's happening? If my prayer comes true, my enemy stops bugging me. It's like a double good thing. They're going to stop hating you. That's one of the reasons we pray, like, God, heal their heart. They want me to be everything for them. Heal them. They have to get it from you. And if he does, if they're able to receive that, they're going to stop demanding everything from you. Praise God. And if he doesn't, then you're an awesome Christian praying for your enemy's blessing. And you're becoming free. And this, then, is where you're prepared. You're prepared, then, when your enemy is hungry on the side of the road, when your enemy walks into somewhere, and I've had this happen, I'll run into old enemies, but I'm healed. And I'm then all of a sudden you're prepared to go, oh, no way, how's it going? And I'm not kidding, you've seen it. You've been with me. My old enemies look like they just got off a spaceship because they haven't dealt with it. So they see me. It's been 8 years, and they're still like this. Okay, I don't know. This new human flesh suit is weird. Now we say the same thing. Oh, I'm glad you came up and said hi. I mean, 9 to 10 people have said that. And I realize, oh, because they're still living in this hurt that I hate them and I would never come up and say hi to them. And they're like so shocked. But then they're also weird. And that's okay. I love them now. I'm like, God, heal them. Bless them. Because it's sad. But it's not affecting me. And this is what I want for my kids. This is what I want for you all. It's a muscle because you know what? Your mind. You pray to forgive them. You pray for their blessing. You acknowledge the hurt. And then 5 minutes later, you're walking to your car. Like, and you know how it happens? It happens so fast. You're like, okay, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to get some tortillas. They're so stupid. I can't believe they even said that. I mean, I would say, and I should have said, and they should know about it. I bet people don't even. And that's after you pray 100 times. I'm just telling you the reality. So don't be discouraged. Realize it's like a weed. Hating your enemies and retaliating is like the weeds in your yard. They're just going to happen. But blessing your enemies and walking through forgiveness and saying, God, help me to bless, that's like the gardenia bush we have that I've worked so hard to get something to come from once a year and it creates something beautiful. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, but it's something you want. Now I love that bush. It used to make me feel bad. Now I'm like, oh, it's beautiful. But this is not to earn salvation. This is be perfect like your Father. Because the energy for this stuff, it telling you the energy for it. It begins with recognizing how Christ has forgiven you. So God, thank you for forgiving me. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. It starts with him. And if you can anchor in God's love and realize we were once enemies, all right, Lord, I'm ready to figure out bless your enemy thing. Then you acknowledge, I'm still really hurt and I really hate my enemies right now. Would you soften me and help me? And then you trust him. You walk into it. All right, here's how they hurt. And the closer people have been to you, the more they've hurt you. So when you forgive your brother for something when you're 8, there's probably a million more to go. Because he gave you a noogie and he gave you an atomic wedgie more than once. And it hurt. God was there. Don't get caught up with retaliation. Be free. Ask Jesus to let you be free. Walk through these things. So we're the people who carry the blessing. We're the people with all the power. We have the power to change hearts by our prayers, by our word, and when we're ready, the actions follow it. And when one of your enemies receives a work of grace from you, they're like, so this is witnessing. You want to witness to people? When they've been jerks, somehow you're able to be praying for them and ready to help them. And they can't understand it. The gospel is so confusing to people when that happens. That's how you witness. So let's not harbor any hate. Let's be the people who bless our enemies. With the help of Jesus, who first blessed us. Does that sound good? You understand? So all those people you're thinking of, we raised our hands, had a lot of hands earlier today. While we play, ask the Lord. While we play some music, we'll give you a chance to respond with God. But ask God to bring up people you need to forgive. Bring up the enemy that you're thinking of, and just begin this process. And you can even tell the Lord, Lord, I just want to be free. I don't want this person to be able to get my mind when I'm with my loved ones. I don't want them to get into my mind, I'm trying to be creative. I don't want them to get in my heart while I'm trying to live. And then follow the Lord. Because he leads us to freedom. And we are the people who overcome evil. We overcome evil by blessing. I've never really done that. Well, I kind of wanted you guys to repeat after me on that. I've never done that, but it feels like, I know, it's weird. Because I want it to get in our heads. We overcome evil with
blessings.
One more time. We overcome evil with
blessings.
I'm indoctrinating you. We overcome evil with
blessings.
We overcome evil with
blessings.
Oh, I thought you were going to get loud. You were like, okay. I want it to get in my head because it's not actually in my head. My first response is, oh, let me bless them. That's where we're going to. Bless your enemies. It's what we do now. It's what our Father does. Let me pray, and then we'll have a chance to respond just with the Lord. Father, you know how hard it is. You were on the cross being mocked. And yet, you were able to say, forgive them. They don't know. We ask that grow our faith that we can know that you're with us. You see the injustice. And we look to you for every good thing. Walk us through acknowledging these pains, these attacks, acknowledging that we have enemies. We're your friends. And you even said they hated me first. They're going to hate you. But lead us into forgiveness and blessing. Bless us, we ask. Bless our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen.